Yeshua Jacobson.
Yeshua Jacobson. Right. Yeshua Jacobson, Parshas Tzava.
Almost.
I'm going to speak a bit about some of the Inyanim of Purim today. I always like to start with something a bit light to put people in the right frame of mind to enjoy it. So I was struggling for a joke, but Gatenisht, I asked a few people, couldn't come up with anything. So out of desperation, I turned to someone who I know has a nice sense of humor. I said, do you have anything good for me for the beginning of this year? Do you have any good jokes? So he said, sure, lots. Mind the pun. That was as good as it got. Anybody get it? Lots? Okay. So now, the Medrash says a very strange conversation between Achashverosh and Haman. And this is a Medrash Rabbah in Zion, Yud Gimel. It says, Amar Reish Lakish. It'll take a minute to get to the Medrash, but we'll see it's important for the Hemshech of the Shir. Amar Reish Lakish. Haman came to Achashverosh and he said, very simple plan. He said, Navad Esa, Yisrael min Olam, let's destroy the Yidden from the world, Chas v'Shalom. So Achashverosh didn't give in so easily. And he said to him, no, you won't be able to. Echol to lehoin bedil de elaha hoin lo shavik lehoin kol ikar. Their God is not going to let you. So it's you against Hashem, you're going to lose. It's a bad idea. And Achashverosh didn't stop there. He said more. He says, Tachazi ma avid lohin. You're not the first one to come up with this. The Malkin Kamai, the earlier kings also wanted to do this. Look at what happened to them. Anyone who put Pashtu Yedein Aleihoin, they were great kings. The Rav Avin Govin Tvein Minon, they were greater than us. What happened to them? The Kolman da Asi Aleim, to destroy them, to give bad eights, to destroy them, what happened? They were destroyed, Mivatom and Olam. They themselves were wiped out. This is not a good idea. So he's told them, be quiet. Shavaklok Mivatom and Olam. I don't want to hear any more about it. But Haman was not so easily swayed. The Medrash says he kept going and going and bothering him more times and more times. So finally Achashverosh gave in and said, okay, you don't want to take my word for it. Let's go ask the Chachomim, meaning the Goyish Chachomim, what they say. So they gather them all together. And they said the plan, very simple plan. Let's destroy this nation from the world. So they were shocked, and they said to him, "Don't you know a bit of Tanakh?" Which is interesting, because all of their eyes come from Tanakh. Why he shouldn't do it? But the smarter they understood themselves. Number one, they said the whole world was created b'shvil the Torah. And that was Shenitna Lehem Yisrael. That was to be given to the Yiddish people. If you touch the Yiddish people, the whole world will cease to exist. Number two, they said, the whole world, all the Goyim, Shkola Umas Aydim, Nikru Nochrim Lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we're all like foreigners. And who are Yisrael? Yisrael, Nikru Kroivim. It brings Psukim to support all this. You're attacking these people who are the close ones to Hashem. And they said, it's a terrible idea. You want to do destruction to the children, the beloved ones of Hashem, you're never going to be saved. Why? And now listen to this. They seem to have had some sort of madrega of emunah. He rules in the upper worlds, the lower worlds. Everybody's life is dependent on him. Like Bila Hashpil, he raises and puts down. He makes people dead, he makes them live. Anything's in his hands. So he says, they said to him, go and think about what happened to all the earlier kings, and you'll see that this is a terrible idea. Look at Paro, look at Sancheiriv. So now, you would have thought Haman would give up. But because he was a hardcore Russia, through and through, he said, no, I've got the answer for all of this. So his answer was quite surprising. So he says, look, the God that drowned Paro at the Yam and made for all the Nisim for them, what happened? Kavar Huzokin. He's already old. He says, our God, Chas Shalom, he said, their God is old. So it's clear he can't do anymore. He's an old person. He can't do this anymore. Look, Nebuchadnezzar came and he was hachri v'beisai v'servis hecholai, burned down their house and took them into Golis. Higla es Yisrael, parzmin ha'oimis umois, he scattered them around the world. Heichan koichoi, heichan kurosoi. Why? Shekavar, he's a zokin, he's an old man. And when they heard this very interesting argument, Kivan Shamalhem came, Ke'inyan Hazem, Yad Kiblu Devor, they accepted his words. V'iskimu daitam, lachlois Yisrael, v'kosvei igeris v'kosmu. And they accepted it, and they said, right, we're sending the documents out, Achashveyush agreed, the Chachamim agreed, God is old, we're off, we're going to do our dirty work. So now, if you think about it, Haman said something very strange. He didn't say to them, God isn't in control of the upper worlds and the lower worlds. He didn't deny any of their claims. He said, yes, you're right. But their God is old. Now this is l'chore absurd. How can you recognize the Rabbeinu Shleilim as being Baal Yecholis, this darga? He's not physical. He doesn't get old. So the question is, what in the world was this argument that God has gotten old? How does that shaykh even think like that? So a sefer called the Darkei Musa gives a very beautiful answer, very interesting answer. He says they weren't speaking in physical terms. This is not meant to say Rabbeinu Shleilim, even from the Goyim's perspective, could be described as getting old. It doesn't make any sense. Elamai, it means that we as a nation had gotten weaker in our commitment to Hashem. And so what? What does that have to do with God, with Rabbeinu Shleilim? So the Pasuk says, Tzilcha Yad Yeminecho. Pasuk in Tehillim says, you'll be a shadow on your right hand. Now, the shadow, on the one hand, has a tremendous mind that it's always with you. Wherever you go, your shadow is always there, it's right next to you, it's inseparable. But there is another aspect to a shadow, and that is, it's only as big as you are. You take a very tall person, it'll be bigger. A small person will be smaller. I know you'll ask me, it depends on where the sun is and how the shadow is cast, but the basic principle is the same. It only can be as big as you are. So to speak, if we say Hashem is like our shadow, that means there is one qualifying feature, how to get His protection. That means we have to make ourselves gedolim as well. If we're katanim, then we don't get as much of protection. And that was what Haman's argument was. He was saying, what did he mean that God had aged? It means as time goes on, the yidden were keeping the mitzvahs with less and less quality, quantity, however you want to describe it. Memela, as time went on, the galus got more intense. He said, look, Hashem is withdrawing His protection more and more. As time goes on, the yidden are less deserving, and as a result, the Hashem's protection is not with them, the galus intensifies. So Achashverosh and the others understood, aha, if that's true, then it's true He was very mighty and powerful, and He still is, but He's choosing not to help them as much. He's, so to speak, He's aging, meaning the relationship is getting weaker with age. Not that Hashem, they themselves knew Hashem doesn't get weaker with age. So this was the attack, and the Yidden were in trouble. So what did they do? What was the resolution? And this is very nagia to us. How do we deal with being in Galus? How do we deal with this claim that we're less deserving? So another Medrash says that when Mordechai heard this, he did something as well, which might take us by surprise. What did he do? He went to learn with children. These are the Midrashim, which many of you have heard, but I like the way the Darkei Musa put them all together and to explain how they fit one with the other. And the Medrash says, the Shaya Yeshiv Abesa Medrash Tinoikas Yeshim Lefanav. Mordechai went and sat with children and learned in the base of Medrash. Sakim bit Naseim, the Otskim, the Torah, the Hayatsoikim, the Boyachim, they were sitting there, steiging away in a state of semi avalus, crying, calling out, Matsusham, and when Haman turned up, there were 22,000 Kaf based Aleph Tinoikas there. So the question you can ask is, why gather the children? If you want to make a nasifa, you don't invite first the children. We've seen it ourselves, and the sifas for this, that, and the other. What do? You get together the chachamim first. They sit on a big table at the front. Then everybody else comes. The men come, and then the hashbah will go from the fathers to the sons, or from the rebbes to the talmidim. However you're going to do it, but to gather the children, what kind of a nasifa is that? Sorry. Okay. Fair enough, but let's say there was Zakenim and Tzadikim. So gather the Zakenim and Tzadikim and the children. Right? So there's one big advantage children have, if you think about it, over even if we could say the Zakenim and Sadukim, but they don't have this mitzvah, but children have it especially stark. And that is enthusiasm, passion, and a frischkeit. A child, when they learn, you can hear them belting it out. The idea of Leil Shishi in the yeshiva, boys staying up all night. It was in Gateshead not long ago, 1 o'clock in the morning, went to the base medrash. There were 30 boys in this yeshiva learning at 1 o'clock in the morning, doing Chazoras Hashir. There was no coffee out. There was nobody propping their eyelids out, you know, trying to looking at their watches. They were just learning with enthusiasm. I left at 1 o'clock in the morning, and the Seder was going on and on like it was in the middle of the day. So we see by young people that they have this koyach of enthusiasm. And that was the remedy for what Haman was timing. Haman was timing that the Yidden have lost their Hashem is, so to speak, is distancing himself because we're not taking on the Torah and the mitzvahs in the same way. So Mordechai went to get the children to arouse that frischkeit. So we see in the Medrash that this is exactly what Hashem recognized to Me'orah his rachamim. The Medrash Rabba says, Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu Malachei Sharis, B'chias Katanim Ani Shemei, I hear the cries of children, K'gadiyim V'tzaloyim, Amar Moshe Rabbeinu L'fnei Kadosh Baruch Hu, Katanei Amcha Yisrael. It's the children of Klal Yisrael. Why is he emphasizing that? What's the whole thing about it? Hear children. Moshe says, yes, it is the children. Sheyoshim B'tainis, they're sitting in Tainis. Not only are they're learning B'tainis. Shlosh Shomim, a person sitting 3 days and three nights learning without food and water, it's an awesome level of Mesiris Nefesh, of enthusiasm. And the same Medrash ends by saying, Amr of Chalba B'yem Shechar of Beis HaMikdash, from the times of Beis HaMikdash, Ein Ha'olim Iskayim Ela Behevel P'yem Shal Tinoikus. That the children's learning has this power to be a massive schus for Klal Yisrael. So, based on this, the Darkei Musa says, a pshat, which we've heard more many, many times, but I think this is new pshat to me. The Pasuk says, the Megillah quotes a Pasuk on Tezayim Abbas, and says, Om Rabbi Huda, Oire Zu Torah, V'simcha Zeh Yom Tov. Right, we've all heard this drasha. Now there's an obvious question on this drasha. If the Megillah wants to tell us that the Yidden returned to having Torah and Yom Tov, just say the Yidden had Torah and Yom Tov. Why does it say they had Ura and they had Simcha? So he says Ura is the element of Torah that they're missing. They had Torah, but they didn't have the light of Torah. They didn't have the illumination that Torah brings to a person. They learned, and when it says they had Yom Tov, they didn't have the Simcha of Yom Tov. So these are all the same idea, that there was a lacking in the enthusiasm, the quality of the enjoyment of the mitzvahs. And Haman was well aware of this, and he came back with his own counterattack. He didn't just take it as, okay, so Mordechai's got the children, I guess I lost. What did he do? The Medrash says he came to intimidate them and to frighten them and to take away the enthusiasm. The Medrash says, Hishlech aleim shal shevish barzel v'hifkid aleim shomrim. First, he puts them in iron chains, nothing like spoiling someone's spirit that being in handcuffs. And he put upon them policemen, some big burly soldiers to watch them to scare them. And what does he say? I'm going to kill the children first. Why? I mean, okay, he says, I'm going to hang Mordechai. Why don't you kill their leader first? And then take care of all the Yidden. You have to start with the children? He said, no, this is the line of defense. If I can get rid of the children, then I can get to Mordechai. If I don't get rid of the children, then the defense of Klal Yisrael is in place. So I'm going to start with killing Chas V'Shalom these children, and then I'm going to hang Mordechai. It wasn't just vindictiveness. He knew this was the way that the Yidden were saving themselves. So what did the children do? The children, again, they didn't give in. They said, V'hai V'seyim Evi'in Lehem Mayim. The mothers came with water. It's an interesting that they did. They said, eat and drink before you die tomorrow, and don't die from a fast, which I'm not exactly sure what the claim was. I mean, they're saying we know that the children Kaschon were going to die, but don't die from hunger. Rather, eat and drink, and then you know Haman will do his business. I don't know why that's. I don't know what the plan was there, but the children said back, no. They put their hands on the svarim, v'nishboim, and they made a shavua. We're going to die in the midst of this learning and in our fasting. Again, this is incredibly passionate, enthusiastic response. They put in a different measure, it says they took the svarim, they held them to their hearts as they said these shavuos. So the same idea, the children's response, the back and forth in the Kudah was, will the Yidden get back and chap the enthusiasm about Yiddishkeit? If yes, they'll be saved. If Haman can break them, so they're not enthusiastic and they just go on and on like they always used to do, then his tiny is they're going to weaken and Hashem's protection will be lessened and lessened. And this, in fact, the Medrash concludes by saying this is why they won, why the Yidden won. It says here, "Ba'oisei shon iskalgul rachamav shel Kadosh Baruch Hu." When all of this was done, the Yidden stuck to it, the children stuck to it, and they kept to the plan of learning. The Hashem went from a kisei din v'yeshiv a kisei rachamim, and he took the igaris shegazur leim shahay choisimim b'choisim shel tit v'karim. He tore them up. So in the source of the acts of the children, Hashem changed the judgment. So now it's all very good. None of us in the room here are children. What does it have to do with us? Because I can tell you the message of Purim is, you know, learn from the children. But what are we supposed to learn from? What does it do with people who aren't in Tashbar? So the answer seems to be that all of us have shaychus to this rekindling of enthusiasm and getting a youthful spirit. That means we, to some degree, we've all done the mitzvahs of Purim. That gets to be some sort of Yetzer Hara, Mitzvahs Anoshim and Umada. We've done them before, but the enthusiasm is something up to us to be Meir. We can all do it in a way where we just do it like we've always done it. We sit in the Megillah like we've always done it. Or we can try really to concentrate and to think and to prepare the Megillah. We still have a few days to prepare the Megillah. So it's not just being something we're Yetzer and let's go on. Or the Matanas of Yonim, however you do it in a way that's just without much thought. No, put your thought into it. You're trying to create achdus, you're trying to help people. And really it's a pasuk in the Chumash. It says, Tachas yishir levarata es Hashem alekecha besimcha, was one of the reasons that the Yidden went into Galus in the first place. We didn't serve Hashem besimcha, and we're trying to chap that. So we see it by this yeshiva, Mordechai Tzadik, anybody who can bring their children or their grandchildren there. It's a great minded. But really, it's not just for the children. Say, if you have 10 minutes, we all, if we think about it, I believe, we have 10 minutes, 20 minutes, some amount of time we could chop some learning on Purim. And that chopping of that little bit of time, that enthusiasm that I'm waiting for someone to come to drive me somewhere, I'm waiting to drive someone else there, I'm sitting here, what am I doing? So don't just sit there and what am I doing? Have a sefer prepared before Purim that you're going to get a chiddushir, something to say over the Suda there, whatever, to review the halachas. There are plenty of interesting halachas. And that shows the enthusiasm that for adults, we also have a chelikim. Now, I want to say something based on this, which I don't think is just a limud zchus. I think it's a little bit deeper. And that is that you'll see sometimes on Purim, some adults who are generally quite reserved, but on Purim, suddenly they get very youthful. You see them dancing more, singing more. Okay, not everybody, but you do see some people doing this. So sometimes we maybe look at them and say, you know, they're reliving their youth, they're regressing. It's a bit not so nice that, but like they never got the inner child out of them, they'd say in modern psychology. They're reliving their youth. But I think there's something much deeper than this. Why are they dressing up? Why is this out of character? Because the day itself has a certain koyach. We're saying the day itself, the tikkun of the day is youthful enthusiasm. And Hashem puts into the day that aspect which we pick up on whether we know it or not. The Gemara says in Megillah that sometimes our neshama knows things that we ourselves don't know. The Gemara says that Daniel had a nevuah. It's in Megillah Gimel Amid Aleph, and Daniel said the pasuk for Isi Ani Daniel Davadi Asamari. I saw a certain vision. But the people with me who were neviim didn't see this, and yet it says, but they ran away. These other three Nevi'im, they ran away. So the Gemara asked, if they didn't see this frightening, inspiring, whatever it was, Nevuah, what are they running away from? What are they running from? They didn't see anything. So the Gemara answers, the people didn't see it. These Nevi'im said, but their mazel saw, which I think the pshat means that the neshamas felt the presence. The neshamas understood something even if they didn't see it with their eyes. And the Gemara doesn't say this is only because they were great, great people who had the sensitivity. Amar Ravina, Shema Mina, Hai Man de Miboyas, Avogav, De Ihu Loi Chazi, Mazlai Hu Chazi. A person who feels a sudden fright, even if he doesn't know why he's frightened, so it was his mazel that saw, his neshama saw it. So that means we have a different set of antenna that we aren't even aware of. And it's in the Bria, a certain sensitivity to what's going on around us, whether we know it or not. And Rav Shimshon Pinchas once said, along these same lines, that someone made an observation. Isn't it interesting, they said to him, how all these fry yidden, by the hundreds, by the thousands, come to shul on Yom Kippur. They suddenly wake up for the Yiddishkeit on Yom Kippur. So he said to this person, you've got it backwards. You think that they're keeping Yom Kippur? No, he said, Yom Kippur is keeping them. That means Hashem is pulling them in like magnets. They don't know what they're doing there. Some of them sit outside the shul the whole day long. They don't know what the davening is. They don't know what the day is about. But the day itself is mamshech them. It pulls them into the shuls. It's because they want the kapara. What does it mean they want? The neshamas want the kapara. So in the same way that that's said about Yom Kippur, I think that the same idea is true by Purim. That it awakens in us this urge, this desire to be youthful, to have enthusiasm for the mitzvahs. And we just have to make sure we don't stop ourselves with comments to ourselves like, oh, it's beneath me, it's not in keeping with who I am. If you want to be enthusiastic about doing the mitzvah, so don't stop yourself. I'm not saying everybody has to dress up like a bear, but I'm saying whatever it is that you can chop in that aspect of enthusiasm on Purim, opening a safer, pushing yourself in Matanas Lev Yoimim, whatever it is, you shouldn't stop yourself. That is exactly one of the main avoiders of the day. I wanted to share one other idea. This is from Yitzhak Huttner in Pachad Yitzchak. And I've probably, without exaggerating, I've had to go through this shtickl 10 times. And I hope, with Siyata Deshmaya, that I've chopped what he's trying to say. And it's a very beautiful idea. He's trying, at the end of all of this, you'll see, to explain the Gemara, the famous Gemara, which many of us sing on Purim, Megillah Daf Zayin Amud Beis, Amar Rava Chayiv Inish Libusu Mei Bepuria Ad Lo Yoda Bein Oru Homun Mevorach Mordechai. Now, it takes a few steps to get there. First of all, the basic pshat, not the basic pshat, a basic pshat, which are often heard to explain this, is, aside from not knowing how to do the gematrias and other things like that, is that we shouldn't make a distinction in our minds. We should realize no difference whether Mordechai is raised up, which is a great Kiddush Hashem, or whether Haman is thrown down, that's also a Kiddush Hashem. So we shouldn't think there's any difference. They're all hanhagas of Hashem creating a Kiddush Hashem in the Bria. That is, I think, a very well-known pshat. And he takes that line, but he takes it much further. So in order to get there, as I say, we're going to have a few steps. The first one is the Gemara in Megillah, on Daf Yud Dalet Amud Aleph, where the Gemara says something. If you listen to the details of the Gemara, it's a bit surprising. It says, Amar Rabbi Abba Bar Kahana, G'doyla Hasaris Tabas. Great was the removal of the ring, Yoser Ma'arboim V'shmoina Nevi'im, more than the 48 Nevi'im, V'shiva Nevi'os, Shenisnavu, Lehem Yisrael, who gave the prophecy to the Jewish people. Why? Shekulam Lahiksirum Mutav, they didn't manage to get them to do tshuva. V'ilu, and again it says, Hasaris and Tabas Haksirosim Amutav. The removing of the ring managed to get them to do tshuva. Now, he points out, why was removing of the ring got them to do tshuva? Do we think that when Haman took when Ahasuerus took the ring off his finger and didn't even hand it yet so much to Haman, but that removal of the ring brought the Yidden to tshuva? They weren't in the room. They didn't see that happen. What was the thing that brought them to tshuva? The Gezeris. Once Haman had the ring, once Haman had the power, so then he made gezeres, and the gezeres were a pachat. That's what brought the Yidden to tshuva. Removal of a ring, l'chura, is a detail, and yet the Gemara mentions it twice, that the removal of the ring was particularly important. So the question is, why? What does that show us? So he says, we shouldn't think that it was just a technical point. Elamai, the raising up of Haman to a new position, to a greater height, was absolutely a prerequisite, was absolutely necessary in order for the Yidden to have the suffering, to the throwing down that the Gezeres would create. Now, meaning what? You might have thought, what difference if Haman makes the Gezeres, if Ahasuerus makes the Gezeres? What difference? There were Gezeres made. So he says, no, it was essential that Haman became great in order for the Yidden to be pushed down. And the question is, why? What does it have to do with Haman's greatness, whether we fall or not? So one Hakdama, he says, is like this. The Gemara in Brachos, it's really a Mishnah, Nun Dalet, says, there are two types of brachas we make on events in this world. For b'service tovus amar bracha tova meitiv, on good events we say a tova meitiv, and chas v'shalom, a b'service rois, we say, baruch dina emes, on things which are bad. Now, what does it mean bad? Bad means according to our emotional reaction to what has happened, they cause us tsar, they cause us suffering, we emotionally relate to them as something bad, and Chazal were misakin two different brachas for them. Fine. The Gemara in Pesachim says it won't always be like this. Pesachim on Daf Nun says no. Pasuk says, V'hai Hashem l'melechol kol aretz b'yomahu yedonai echad shemoy echad. So the Gemara asks, then he'll be one. On that day, Hashem will be one. What about now? So Gemara says, no, lo ka'olam hazeh ha'olam haba. In this world, we make two brachas. But in olam haba, kula hatova meitiv. But in the next world, it's all hatova meitiv. So, fine. So this world, we say two brachas. And the next world, we're only going to say hatova meitiv. What's the pshat? So I think one of the pshatim is that then we'll look back and see that all the events that occurred were ultimately for the good of Klal Yisrael. It's a story of a tzaddik who died in time of some gefirlich gezeiros against Klal Yisrael, and everybody is hoping that when he went to Shemayim, he'd be a melech yoshar, he'd say something to get the decrees erased. And he appeared in a dream to one of his talmidim, and he said to them, I'm not going to intervene. And the Talmud asked him, well, why not? He said, because from my perspective, I see how this is for the good. It doesn't make sense to me to intervene. Now, that's the story. I can't tell you. That's how it goes. But the idea is what I want from it, that in the Asid, we'll see that all of these things somehow were for the good. So that's the Asid. Kulo will be Hatova Meitiv. The third Gemara, which creates a bit of a twist to this, is the Gemara in Brachos. It says that even though we just said in this world, right now, we have to make two brachas. The Gemara says there, Samach Amud Beis, what does it mean a person is mechayev levarech al harah kashem levarech al hatoiva? He has to make the same way on the bad as the good. So Rava says, lo nitzruch ela kabelinhu b'simcha, that you have to accept them with simcha. So now, I thought we just said a minute ago that in this world, we have to make on bad gezer, on bad events, things we perceive as bad, we have to make a bracha din amos. And this Gemara is telling us to accept them with simcha. So how do you put these two together? We said only in the future can you make a tova meitiv. So Rabbeinu Yonah says it means in this world, to makabel them with simcha means we accept that we needed the kapara. So that's we accept it with simcha, but it's still from our perspective very upsetting, but we see that there's a tachlis to it. But Rav Hutna says, based on these Gemaras, we're going to explain our earlier questions. Number one, we asked, what's the Adela Yada? What's the Pshat in that? And number two, what is the Hasaras Adabas, removing of the ring? What was the importance of that? So this is the structure that he makes. He says, when it comes to verbalizing, saying the actual brachas in this world, you can only say Hatova Meitiv on the good and Baruch Dayamus on the Ra. That's where it goes. But in your heart, you're allowed to have a different event. He calls it a chovis levavos, which you're not allowed to express verbally, that you can accept mekabel b'simcha, that this is all a part of God's plan, and God's plan is for the good. Not like Rabbeinu Yonah, that we need it for kabbalah. We actually see a little snippet, a little tiny bit of what we're going to see in the asid, but only in our hearts. That means we see in the bad, to be mekabel b'simcha, that there's some good latent in this, which we're feeling is bad, but we feel that there's in our hearts some good to it. So, okay, that's hakdama number one. Number two, we have to split besoris rois into two types. There's a type of tzaddik v'raloi and a rasha v'tovler. Now, those two types of besoris rois are often disconnected. If I live next door, the head of the mafia, and he pulls up in a new black Lexus with all the trimmings, and that's not stopping me from pulling up in my driveway with my new black Lexus with all the trimmings. So he's got one and I've got one. Because there's a rosh of a tovloi, what does it have to do with me? I can also have good. There's one exception to this. And where is that? That's by a molik. A molik is the case where we can't be both up. A molik and Klal Yisrael are on a seesaw. That means if they're driving the black Lexus or whatever it is that you want to be used as the marshal, if they're the head of the mafia or the head of the country or whatever you like, so then we're not going to be in that position. We're going to be somehow chas v'shalom downwards. And the psukim say, the pasuk in Bereishis says, by Yaakov and Esav, Yisroitzu habanim v'kirba, What does it mean that Yaakov and Esav in this battle or in this fight? Rashi says, the battling over the two worlds. One's going to get it and one's not going to get it. And the next pasuk as well says, that Rashi explains, what does that mean? Lo yishu begedula. They cannot both be great. One's going to be up, as one is up, one will be down. They can't both be up. And he says, we see it historically, the by Rome and then the Yidden, v'loynis male tzur ele b'charova shel Yerushalayim. It's only possible for tzur to fill itself with its cleaning out, with the destruction of Yerushalayim. Why? Just build tzur. Yerushalayim has to be destroyed for you to be great. That's the relationship of a malek and Klal Yisrael. So, let's get back to our point here. So in the case regards to Hasaras Tabas, that's the pshat. Haman had to be made great in order for the gezeiras to be made to push the Yidden down. It wasn't possible to have those harsh gezeiras without the Hasaras Tabas. It's not pshat that Achashverosh would have just made the decrees, or that Haman could have made the decrees of being some middle level diplomat in the government. In order for him to make these decrees, which were going to be so terrible, he had to be up, because he was the semel of a malek. And based on that, he says, what's the pshat in Adel Lo Yodav in Oru Haman Levorach Mordechai? He says, we are trying to realize that, like we said, the basic pshat is that there's no difference between the degree of Kiddush Hashem. But he says much more than that. We're trying to say, with Lo Yodav, we should get to a stage where we no longer think that these two ideas are independent. That Baruch Mordechai and Oru Haman, we might think are independent ideas, but it's not true. They're totally, totally dependent. We want to take the bane out. We're saying there's a chiluk. One can be without the other. He says, no. You have to, but it comes out of Chiddush, that you have to do yes, no something. Lo yada, that they're separate. Yes, yada, you're supposed to try to yes, no, that they're totally integrated. They totally have to do with one another. So it comes out, the destruction of a malek is not just another mitzvah in the Torah which happens to fall out on Purim. We might say, isn't that interesting? You know, Haman was from a malek, and we read the Parsha Zohar, we want to destroy a malek. Good timing. He says, it's not the pshat at all. He says, in order for us to have the Yeshua of Purim, in order for us to have the rising up of the Yidden, it has to be that the destruction of Amalek is taking place at the same time, because you have to push that side of the seesaw down in order to get this side to come up. And one other aspect, he says that the careerus of Amalek, the idea was to cool everybody down and say, no, we don't have so much emunah, don't have how much enthusiasm. Saying, you have to exactly destroy that aspect in the world in order for, like we said earlier in the shir, the idea of building up people's enthusiasm, building up people's hislavus for Yiddishkeit, you have to do them at the same time. You shove down Amalek and all of his careerus, and that helps to push up Klal Yisrael. And this explains some interesting things which we probably all heard. It says, as Mordechai got on the horse when he was being led by Haman, so he got on the horse, he said, oh, I can't get on. So Haman said, so what am I supposed to do? He says, well, bend down and I'll stand on you and I'll get on the horse. Fine. So on his way up, he kicks Haman. A bit vindictive, no, to kick him. He's already bent down, you're standing on his back, you have to kick him as well. And Haman calls him out on it, says, don't you say you're not supposed to rejoice over the falling of your enemy? So he had his answer, whatever his answer was. But Lafi, what we're saying is very good. In order for Mordechai to rise, he has to kick Haman. The more we're not just trying to be vindictive, that's a chelak of our aliyah. In the same way that Esther made sure that Haman would be the one to cut his hair. Achashverosh didn't say he had to cut his hair. And the Midrashim say part of the reason she closed all the barbershops that day was that more people should be made, I think it was somehow to be waiting on the streets and to be available to see Mordechai, because Mordechai would be delayed having this amateur barber and things would be shut. So there'd be more and more people to embarrass Haman as he led Mordechai around. Well, we're in the business of embarrassing people. Is that a Yiddish amida to embarrass people? So it's the same shot that in order to get the aliyah, the ge'ula that we needed, we have to keep pushing Haman down. The more he's embarrassed, the more he's destroyed, the more he's laid waste, the more that becomes a hechetimsa for Klal Yisrael, a means for Klal Yisrael, in order to be raised up. So this is all very good. This is, I'd say, a makshavadik pshat in Adel Lo Yodah, that we say the whole thing is unified and we're supposed to know this. But the thing is that that's not the whole phrase. We said a person has to libesume bepurim. I've sat there, I've created a group of intellectuals who are going to sit on Purim. We're all going to think into what this idea means. Wonderful, but it doesn't say it's to drink, not sit around and just discuss makshava. So where does the drinking fit in? And furthermore, to get drunk, l'chura won't help these kinds of ideas. If all be drunk, and I'd be trying to explain to you the shir right now, I think we'd have a much harder time. So where does the drinking fit into this? So he says like this. It doesn't actually say you're supposed to get shikr. It doesn't say you're supposed to get shikr. It's libesume. Libesume is connected to the idea of sweetening yourself through drinking, but to make yourself sweet. So what's the pshat? So he says, what are we trying to do? We're really trying to create an idea on Purim, a chap of a moment on Purim, of this idea that Haman will be cast down, the Yidden will be up. It's sort of a perfected world where everything has reached its final stage. A world, as he puts it, without atzvus. To picture a world without sadness. Now the problem is that we live in a world with a lot of tirdus and the things that weigh on our minds, and it's difficult to get this focus. We want to know it. We want to say ad lo yoda, which we said means you have to not know that, but yes, know what we've spoken about. In order to know something, yedia doesn't just mean to have an idea of what it is. It means to make it a part of you, to internalize it. So how do you do that? You have to get rid of a lot of distractions. You have to sweeten yourself with drinking. And the drinking is not to make it just to get us drunk. The idea is to put us in a mindset, like we said, libekublinu besimcha, that once we are able to push aside some of these other thoughts which distract us, we can focus on the simcha in a focused way. So then we have the opportunity to chap that there is such a future vision. There is such a future vision that things will be fixed. And this is the taich, then I just want to summarize the taich of what the phrase means, according to Rav Huttner. Chayiv inish libesume bepuri ad lo yoda ben oru homan levorach Mordechai means we're supposed to drink in a way to help us to get to a stage where we can have an internal chap, an internal knowledge of the world as a good place. The world has in it, the kiblinu besimcha, Hashem has made a world that there is good in this world right now. Now, of course, it's blocked out to some degrees by Rosha v'toivla and Tzadik v'raloi. So Rosha v'toivla, it confuses us. But nevertheless, in Purim, we have an opportunity to chap it. So I'm seeing we're running short on time, so I just wanted to wrap it up. But the question is now, practically, how can we do this? Because people say, well, we're just drinking to drown out our sorrows. Someone tying it to me. Well, is that all you're saying? But that's not what we're doing at all. A drunk tries to drink in order to forget his problems. We're not trying to forget our problems. We're trying to put our problems into. We're trying to put our problems in the right perspective. That Hashem has an ultimate plan, and in order to get there, all the mitzvahs of the day lend themselves to this. As you read the Megillah, you should be thinking to just as much as they had a gula in the times of the Megillah. That is the asid for Kal Yisrael. As we build Achdus with the Matanas of Yoinim, Mishalach Manas, that's the part of the world that Hashem wants us to have, with everything is the Tova Ametiv. And the mashal for this is, he says one day a year, is this going to change our whole life? So Huttner says, even after the alcohol wears off, the impression on our heart, the roshim on our hearts will remain. It's like a person in a dark valley, and he is raining, is bucketing, doesn't know where he's going, so he feels lost. There's a flash of lightning, and he sees across the valley the house that he's looking for, his destination. And in that moment, many, many of his worries disappear, because he sees, there is such a place that I'm going to. There is clarity of where I'm trying to go to. And it takes him to a new level of simcha and menuchas nefesh, that even though it's one day a year, but we can chap it, and it'll take us forward. I feel I must mention, because I told this shtickel over to a choshev, a person in town, and he said to me, please, whatever you say, you have to add this at the end. You have to add this somewhere. He said, it's all very good and well being the simcha yourself and being the simcha through the mitzvahs, he said, but there's no simcha in halacha and hashkafa as great as matanas lev yonim. Because a person's own simcha, it's true, it's a wonderful thing, and what we take out of Purim is a wonderful thing, but he said, a person has to know that emistik yiddish simcha is based on making other people the simcha as well. So I think it was a fair point, it's a good point, and we have to take in mind however much we're going to spend on the suddas and mashallah manas and everything else, but make an honest cheshbon with ourselves. isn't it brought in Shulchan Aruch, isn't it al pi seichel muvan that if some small percentage of that is matanas levyonim, that's not right. The emstik asimcha of Purim has got to be, the chelik of us trying to chap an olam asid, where everything is makabalina besimcha, everything is for good, has got to be that we're not the only ones having the good. It's got to be that other people are also having the good. So that was his appeal, and that's my mentioning here in the end of the shir, that we should make that a chelik of our simcha and Purim.
Yeah, that's right. It's the possibility. It's going to be a good place. And separately,